you know, going to nations is hard on the flesh. And you really have to lay down this world in order to do that. And so it's emotional for me sometimes when we sing about these things. But anyway, praise God. Well, we have a missions takeover service today, and we have two teams back from India and Nicaragua. And again, thank you for your support and generosity in sending these folks. And we're going to hear just a little bit about what the Lord did in those places, and we'll just trust the Holy Spirit that exactly what we need to happen will occur. And who's going to start? Mr. Coleman. Yeah, I like that shirt.
I think this is actually a gift from the Indians. Harry's got one too. A little cooler. No. Yeah, so we just got back from India, Harry and I, and it was a really, really cool experience. I really love India, Indian culture. Everybody was telling me, worry about the food. Colin, worry about the food. But I actually loved the food. It was really good. If you like spicy food, anybody, go to India. It is really good. I found out that I love mangoes too, evidently. And so much so that I earned the nickname Cold Mango. So there's just a couple things that happened with me. And so while we're there, I kind of got a revelation on baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because around here, I'm always thinking like, okay, healing, healing, healing. And baptism of the Holy Spirit is kind of something that I pushed to the side. I didn't really place too much significance or importance on it for me sharing it with other people. Hey, baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? But then, like, while we're there, we had a few healings, but it seemed like the theme was centered around baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just a complete move while we're just yielding ourselves to Him, people being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was great significance, and I'm really excited to hear the testimonies and the stuff that's going to be happening in the near future over there. And so the first time we shared the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was with a bunch of Baptist youth. There's probably like 30 people there, and after Harry shared the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everybody wanted to be filled. Everybody wanted to receive. And so as they come, you get the understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to read Acts 1:8 real quick. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Okay? So you see this power that we're talking about. Jesus says you're going to receive this power. Jesus received this power. You look at Peter, who denied Jesus. Well, something happened to Peter, because you look in the early book of Acts. It says that they were amazed by the boldness that Peter and John had. Well, Peter didn't have that boldness when Jesus was being crucified. You know, he denied him three times. And so you look at this, something happened in between that time for him to be not very bold, right? And then to him to be bold. And like, so the Holy Spirit, that's what happened with him. And so we look at, go back to what we were talking about with the youth that we were speaking to. When they received the Holy Spirit, all of them received the Holy Spirit. It was a really surreal scene, because everybody, they were like really loud praying in tongues. I've never seen anything like this. There's like, you have 25 people just praying in tongues very loudly. And me and Harry just stepped back like, wow, this is pretty cool, you know? And so then this one kid, he just gives out, and he just falls out. We pick him up, put him in his chair. He's just asleep. And then this other guy, he's on his knees wailing. I've never seen anybody wail before, but that was kind of a surreal scene going on. And then we have some testimonies. This one girl, she's crying. And so we asked her, like, what was going on? She said she sees Jesus. Jesus is holding a crown. She wants the crown. And she keeps asking for the crown. He says, you can't have it yet. You have work to do. You have to share the gospel. Well, Jesus isn't going to tell you to do something and not give you the power to do it, right? So she receives that power. Another kid, he said that he left his body and he went to a garden. And while he's at the garden, God showed him all of his sins and said, I've washed all your sins away. Now I want you to work for me. Just like that. God's not going to tell you to work for me if he's not going to give you the power to do his work. And so he receives that power. And so they just got a revelation of the power that you receive. When you look at Jesus, he received that power to do his ministry. Peter, he didn't have any power. So he received that power to do his ministry. So all of us, it's important for us to get that power. You see these kids who received this power. And now when the next couple of days we went to the Bible or the Baptist church, and we was ministering to them. Let me back up for a second. The next night, we talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we were laying hands on people. And the guys that got filled before that, we told them to come up, and they were like kind of hesitant. They came up, and then so they laid hands on people to receive. And then a couple days later, we go to their church, and we do the same thing. And I noticed that when I lay hands on them, I see the guys coming around. Me and Harry didn't have to tell them anything. They come around, they start laying hands on people. And that's some of that power that they receive. They receive that boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you. The whole same boldness that Peter got, that Jesus got in his ministry, that I have. Because before, 2 years ago, you couldn't tell me I went to Peru last year and that I'm going to go to India. I'm here in Augusta sharing the gospel, laying hands on people, filling people with the Holy Spirit. That's not, it's not Coleman in the flesh, you know. That's the Holy Spirit that's enabled me, that's empowered me to be a witness. And that's every person. You don't need anything else to be a witness. Holy Spirit's already empowered you to be that witness. You have that boldness. Just tap into it. It's already there. It's like a car battery. If you don't hook the car battery up, you're not going to, you can go somewhere. It's going to be a little difficult though, but if you have that car battery hooked up, then you have that power source to get you to where you need to go. And then the last night we're there, we went to the orphanage. We were playing with the kids. We were like, we want to give these kids something, you know? And so we talked about the Holy Spirit, and this girl, she starts praying in tongues. And I quickly recognize it. They were speaking in Tamil, but when she started speaking in tongues, have the ear for it or something. I don't know. She starts speaking in tongues, and then all of a sudden she starts clapping really loud and jumping up. And so she's just making this huge scene. I'm just trying to go over there and give her some peace, you know, like I'm just going to give her the Holy Spirit peace. And so I go put my arm around her, and she jumps out of my arms, almost knocks me over. And so then she throws herself on the ground, and Harry and Juti, they went over there, they laid hands on her and spoke peace to her. And so she comes to, we're like, what's going on? And she said that she felt something leave, right? And so we talked to her a little more. She says she saw all this darkness, and then she saw this rushing light come in and push out all the darkness. And so that's more that power that comes in. You have that power that's coming in, pushing out all that darkness, all that fear that you may have of sharing or being a witness. Holy Spirit empowers you and pushes out all that darkness. So, yeah. I'll turn it over to Harry.
Wasn't he good, y'all? Wasn't he good? My little brother over there, who's older than me. No, Coleman did amazing in India, and I was the one who was struggling more than he was, and that, I know, that's just not good. But I was the one in charge and the one struggling, and so thank you, Coleman, for going with me. And I know his family must be excited about what God's doing, because it's something special. I'm here to share about India as well. And Coleman stole all my stories, so I really got nothing. That's what I was going to talk about, so we'll just go with something else. First off, something really major, important happened in India, probably more significant than anything else that happened. Just kidding. But I got engaged to Miss Rebecca Jackson. Yeah. So that was exciting. And you guys did not pay for me to go get engaged, but it happened. And so I thank you for supporting the mission and the engagement and all of that. No, but we were in Mumbai, and it was the craziest thing. We're at this place. Basically, they bring people in from the train stations. People are like left sick and dying and all this stuff, and nobody there is like trained as a doctor or anything like that. But they operate on people. They do all it's crazy stuff, and they have a crematorium there on site, and so. This was the scene where Becky and I got engaged. So it was glorious, and I thank you guys for helping us. You can read more about the blogs and the stuff that happened there. But I want to talk about that power again that Coleman was talking about. And I want to talk about, there's a word attached to it. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I look in here, and this is a room where I think a lot of people, you have, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But when I was in India, I was really confronted with that, was like, what's the deal? Because I know that there's this power, and it says we shall receive it, and it says when it happens. It says when it happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but I'm wondering, why are we not seeing it? All right, and I get intense every time, so I'm sorry. But why don't we see that power? That's what I was kind of grappling with. Because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, we shall receive it, and then what's the deal? It's like, I know I have the Holy Spirit. I know he lives in me. I know he's come upon me. I mean, I go to these places. I have utter confidence over there, y'all. But go in there, share about the Holy Spirit. No doubt, everybody in the room will be filled. I mean, just expectation. But then in my normal life, this power sometimes seems to evade me. I don't know if you feel that way as well. And maybe we have moments or glimpses of this power. But I believe that all of us are supposed to be living and walking in this power. I was just reading yesterday about Peter and John. They're on the way, as Lindsay would illustrate, they're on the way to the Gate Beautiful, and they see a man who they've seen probably many times before, and this man, he's been there, he's paralyzed, he's lame, and on this particular day, they say, silver and gold I do not have, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, get up and walk. What was that power? What was going on that day? And people ask, you know, is it, you know, who? How did you guys do this? And Peter says, it's not by our own power or godliness. It's not by our own might or own strength. What is he referring to? He's referring to this power that comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so this is it, guys. This is the problem, is we don't expect to see this power in our lives. And I know it's easy. I always kind of struggle coming back from another country because you got to communicate this stuff to people. And it's difficult. And I get it. It's difficult to quite get it unless you see it. But I'm just telling you that there is more power available in your life today. Not in India, not in Nicaragua, here at your home in this city. There's more power available. I've seen it. You know, so you just have to trust me. You got to trust the guy in the crazy shirt, you know. My joke about this shirt was the person who made this colorblind, because what was going on that day? You know, they made this shirt. But it was a really nice gift. I really appreciated it. But then I saw Coleman's shirt and like, that's a good looking shirt. And then what happened over here? But there's this power, guys. There's more. And it's not something we have to go and reach for. Like, we don't have to go to God's, you know, great grocery store and grab some more power off the shelves. I'm convinced that the power is in us, because that's what it says. We've already received it. So it's in there. It's just a matter of tapping into it, yielding into it. One place we went, I remembered a story. Praise the Lord. He told almost all of them except this one. No, we went to one day we were supposed to have a house meeting, and in India, everything you do takes three times as long as it should, you know? And so we're in these little moto taxis, and they're driving us around. It's another part of town I've never seen before, never been there, anything. And so evidently the guy driving and Juti, our Indian friend, he's never been there before either, because, you know, pretty quickly we're lost, and you can tell it. Because in India, if you're lost, you just stop and you ask someone on the side of the street, and they just point. And everywhere you go, people just keep pointing. And so it's like, are we lost? What's the deal? Because everybody's like, yeah, just keep going the way you're going. You know, it's like, okay. And there's a great lesson in that, guys. You know, ask the world, are we lost? Just, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Think about it. That'd be a good blog post. But so they keep telling us, keep going there. And then we get to the place where we think we're at, we're supposed to be. And they say, no, go to the other side. And so then we go over there, and then somebody says, no, go back to where you came from. Then we go over there. It was just so frustrating. But we get there. We finally get in this little house, and it's been there for 50 years. And, y'all, it looks like, I mean, it looks to us, we would call it a shack, you know? But this is where people live. It's this little house. And the lady said, yeah, I've lived here my whole life. I mean, it's crazy. And so we're there sharing, and we're supposed to be sharing with the dad, her husband, who has recently been in an accident, you know, automobile accident, which if you've been over there, you understand why that would happen. But he was in an automobile accident, and we're waiting for him, and we get a call and says, oh, he's at the doctor's right now, and it'll be an hour. And I'm thinking, an hour? We've just been driving for an hour, and now we're going to sit here with these people who don't speak English and try to, you know, converse for an hour about, you know, nothingness, you know? And so I'm like, me and Coleman look at each other, just like, you know, that's a feeling, you know? And so in gospel ministry, there is that, like, feeling going on a lot. That's the flesh, and so you just have to fight it. But so we started sharing with the mom all this stuff, and thank God, like, I'm God must have translated him or something, but that man showed up within 5-10 minutes, and I'm so thankful. But the guy shows up, and he's busted up his arm, and I think it's his ribs. And so when you're praying for the sick in other places, you know, they're just pointing at like body parts, so you don't really know like what's going on, you know. We were in one service, and like 50 people came up to me, and I don't have a translator, and they're just like, one lady be like this, so I'd pray. And then she'd move around, you know, pray again. And then, somebody would like squeeze in, and they're like, I'm like, okay. So this guy, he comes in, and he's all busted up. And so we had already shared about healing and some stuff with his wife. We didn't share anything with him, guys, nothing. We just said, we believe God wants to heal you. Do you want prayer? And he says, you know, yes, in his language. And so we lay hands on him. He begins to move it, and he's like kind of like surprised. And so we're asking him what's going on. He says like the pain's leaving, it's going. And so then we shared some other stuff with him, and now we had prayed for him again, and he says there's this like lightness, and all the stuff was gone. The guy was supposed to have surgery, and that's why he was at the doctor. They were getting everything figured out. And then there he was. He was moving on. He was completely healed. And the guy, you know, who comes in, he wasn't wearing a smile. And when we left, he had the smile on. And it was so cool because it wasn't like I explained a lot to him. It wasn't like we convinced him of something. Man, that's what I feel like in America. We're just always convincing people of stuff. Why do we have to convince people of what Jesus said, you know? And so this guy, he's moving around, didn't have to tell him anything, didn't have to make a case, didn't have to make an argument, you know. We just said, God wants you healed. And he starts moving around, and he was healed. So there's power, y'all. There's more power, and there's other stuff that happen, you know. When you have people like falling out, you know, that's exciting. But it's not so much about that. There's this power within you that wants to come out of you, and you got to learn to yield to it, because it's not about changing bodies, it's about changing people's hearts, you know? This world is looking for some life, for some strength, for some rest, for some help, you know? And you and I have this power within us. And it's this saving, transforming power that God has entrusted, given to us, we've been entrusted with. And I think a lot of time we don't have any expectation when we draw upon this power. There is no expectation to go and turn on the light switch, so to speak, you know? And so I just challenge you, you know, you didn't go to India or Nicaragua. And so I hope one day you get to go and do something like that. It's life changing. You should do it. But even so, in our day to day lives, you know, I went to India. I have to come back to my reality. I have to come home, you know. And in my day to day life, how do I reconcile that power that I saw in this life that I live today? And I got to tell you something. We better expect more. We better believe for more. And that just that I would see the more. Paul prays, he says this, that we would know and believe this, the exceeding greatness of God's power. It says that's within you. It's in there. And I think a lot of times we want to go and get somebody to lay hands on us, and I need more power, you know. I need more teaching. I need more, you know, I need to get more scripture in me. I need to pray harder, all this stuff. No, you need to see the power that's within you, you know. You need the light to come on, and you see some things on the inside of you. Because I got to tell you this, inside every one of us, there's this great power. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, you know, I'm 10,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That's what it's like. There's this strength, this power, this force within you. And so I just encourage you today, I'm not giving you all the keys and blah, you know, all that stuff. I'm just trying to tell you, there's more power available. And I just ask you, let's all expect that and draw upon that, you know? Let's make a demand upon God's power. For whatever we're going through, whatever people around us are facing, let's make a demand on that power. Amen? You don't have to go to another country to see that power. I believe there's a day coming when we're going to see it in our cities, amongst our people, and we're going to go, wow, you know, wow at the power. And it's been there all along. Amen? I mean, that's all I got.
Amen. Hallelujah. Before I share, I want to give you just a glimpse of what took place in Nicaragua. So we've prepared a short video, and I'm hoping that as you see the pictures and what takes place there, it'll give you a little bit more context as I share in just a few moments. So if you would turn your attention to the screens.
image flashed across my serious screen. Another broken heart comes into view. I saw the pain that's on my back. Why can I do the things I want to? I'm willing, yet I'm so afraid. You give me strength when I say, I wanna be your hand. I wanna be your feet. I'll go where you send me. I'll go where you send me. Be your hands. Be your feet. I'll go where you send me. I'll go where you send me. And I'll try. Yeah, I'll try to touch the world like you touch my life. And I'll find to be your hand. Everything I've got, you can have everything I am. Imperfect, everything I'm not. I'm willing, I'm not afraid. Strength when I say, I wanna be your hand, I wanna be your feet. I'll go where you send me, I'll go where you send me. Be your hands, I'll go where you be your feet. I'll go where you send me, I'll go where you send me.
Amen. So as you can see from some of the pictures, that Nicaragua is a beautiful country. But the thing that inspired me the most was not the scenery, but the people. And people are people wherever you go. But just like Cindy mentioned earlier, that the people there, the believers there, had such a passion and a hunger for God that was contagious and inspirational. And I want to unpack just a little bit. I wish I could really, in the next 15 minutes, unpack everything that took place over our trip. And you've heard a few stories from Nicaragua and our team. And I just want to give a shout out to our team. You guys did a fantastic job. And Kata really prepared you for all that you saw and experienced and how you allowed the Lord to use you. But I saw something there while I was in Nicaragua that really applies to this verse in Acts 1:8 that Coleman shared earlier and Harry was talking about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, a lot of people, a lot of scholars would unpack this verse, and they would see a couple of different views on this. And one would be that it would be sequential in the fact that, okay, well, he's talking to the disciples, and here's where you start. You start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, which is, if you study the geography there, Jerusalem is a city inside of Judea, the region, and Samaria was a neighboring region, and then to the ends of the earth. And so some people would say that there's a sequence there, that you start in your hometown, and then you go to the region, and then you go to the region beyond, and then you go to the nations. And I see some substance to that, you know, that you can't go, and we say this a lot, you can't go to the nations unless you first go to your neighbor. And there is a truth in that, because if you're not willing to go wherever he sends you, then you won't be willing to go to the nations, right? If you won't be willing to go to your neighbor, you won't be willing to go to the nations. And furthermore, if you're not going to your neighbor right now, you'll be doing the same thing in another nation. You'll just be there taking up space, not contributing any substance to the work there. And so I see that. And then another respect, another view would be, well, it was always God's ultimate plan to begin in Jerusalem with the disciples, because that's where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, that they were there in the city and that the Holy Spirit blew them out from the upper room into the city. And from there, they just went everywhere. And we see this in other scriptures as well. If you would put up Luke 24, and this is another part of the Great Commission. We'll begin in verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem." Interesting, right? Verse 48. "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So I believe that if we would take this, you know, in context, we see that, of course, the Holy Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem, right where they were in the upper room, and boom, that's where they went. And so if we would apply that to our own context, I believe that the Holy Spirit empowers you to preach the gospel wherever you are, obviously, but it begins in power the moment you receive the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one who empowers you to be a witness to your area, the surrounding areas, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth, provided you allow him to lead you to other places. I was in that position a few short months ago, probably back last year, July, around last year. We had an IGO conference here at the church, and we were in our small groups discussing various things, and I heard these words come out of my mouth, and you know, it was really the way that I felt at the time, that I didn't know if I would ever go to another nation. I was perfectly content. There's plenty of work here to do. I thought that, you know, I'm perfectly okay spending my time, energy, effort here in the CSRA and doing ministry here. A few short months go by, and we are yet at another IGO conference in Alabama, and something changed on the inside. It was as if, and I can only describe it this way, that in the same way that Paul had a vision of the Macedonians saying, "Come, come, come, come," it was the same sense that I got for Nicaragua. And as Cheyenne, our host, was speaking at this conference, I had this desire, this strong desire, that I need to do something to help. And then in talking with him, I thought, well, I could just send my money. You know, I feel like I'm a generous person. I could support your work there. And when I asked him, how can I best help the mission that you're doing there? He said, just come. And the next day, his wife, Arelis, who is a native Nicaraguan, and it's her father's church that is Iglesia Luz y Vida in Corinto, she literally said those same words, come, come. You don't know how much it will mean for you to come. And so a lot of times we think, well, we can just send our money, and we can send other people, and we can pray for the laborers. You go into the harvest, but be unwilling to go ourselves and think that that's enough. And as she was saying those things, I had this sense, well, I have to go. And so the opportunity came up, and we recruited a team to go with us. And it really was a life-changing trip. But I would not have been prepared, our team would not have been prepared, had we not first gone to our neighbors and to the surrounding areas where we are, and, you know, mission trips to Ohio and various other places in the States. And it really trained us to be a witness. And I want to say to you that you can be a witness wherever you go. As you trust the leading of the Holy Spirit and his power within you, you can be a witness wherever you go. Because I believe I shared it in one of our blog posts, and maybe you didn't get a chance to read it, so let me recount it for you, that Walmart is Walmart everywhere. The marketplace is the marketplace everywhere. And I've got a lot of hands-on ministry training on aisle 7 at Walmart. You understand what I'm saying? We were in Nicaragua and going to the Walmart there, which is called Poly, or Maxi Poly, which would be the Super Walmart. And so we were there in the Super Walmart, And some of the team members had to get various items, some necessities that they had to have. And John and I just said, well, we don't really need anything, but why don't we just share the gospel? And again, we didn't have a translator every time that we went, only really when we spoke in public, we had a translator. And I had minored in Spanish in college, but I had lost all of that because if you don't use it, you lose it. And so John and I really depended on the cards that we had translated into Spanish. And thank you, Arlene, for translating our miracle card for us. And for helping us prepare before we went. So we walk up and we're introducing ourselves, talking to people, and of course they're wondering what we're doing there. And so we have an immediate open door. But people at Walmart in Augusta are open to you as well. Wherever you go, people are people. And so as we begin to talk to people, we asked if we could pray for them, and almost 100% of the time people were willing to let us pray for them. And we met one guy named Edwin, and he was already a believer, but he said that he was having trouble in his back, and of course he points, you know. So we didn't really study anatomy in Spanish. And so he points to his back and we pray for him, you know, just the simple prayer that's written on the card. And it's the same thing that we see here in Augusta. You pray a simple prayer on the card. God is God. He wants to heal people. He wants to touch them. And then we told him, do something you couldn't do before. And he bends over and he comes up, and the expression on his face didn't change at all. Here in the United States and various other places, you can see that, and we've said this, that the expression tells the story. So if they were in pain, they were wincing before, and then something changes, there's a sense of relief on their face. There's a smile. Everybody practice, because you're staring at me ugly right now. Smile if you would. But this, nothing changed. His expression didn't change, and so we're confused, right, John? We're like, did God touch you? What happened? You know, I believe that something happened, but your face doesn't tell the story. So we ask him, is there any pain? No. And just a matter of fact, you know. And I think it's telling, really, of people's expectation. Why should we be surprised at the miraculous? We should be thankful. We should be grateful. But surprised? Maybe not. I think in other nations, they've come to expect the supernatural, they've come to expect God's power. They do. They do experience a new normal. And we should have that and experience that same thing. And I want to encourage you today that wherever you go, there you are, obviously. But God's power is with you, and He's empowered you to be a witness. And I hope that these stories today have inspired you, they encouraged you. It really was a life-changing trip in a lot of ways. Before we left, or as we were leaving on the plane, I was writing in my journal and just allowing the Lord to speak to me about this trip. And it really was something that the Lord was speaking to me, was about raising my level of expectation, and that He spoke to me that you were going to go to another level. And so I had this thought in my mind that it was, and we think about this, that if you're going to go to another level, we always think it's going to be higher, 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 higher. Maybe you have a glass ceiling and you're going to bust through that, and you're going to go to a higher place. But what I experienced was something altogether different. What I experienced was not going to another level in height, but another level in depth. Deeper and deeper and deeper. And because even Harry pointed it out, that the Holy Spirit resides within. And as you tap into His power and His leading and His guiding, you can begin to go deeper in your relationship with God and your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and allowing Him to lead you and guide you. And so I want to really encourage you today. Number one, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You need it. You need Him to speak to you. You need His power to flow through you. You will go to another level when you receive the Holy Spirit. How many could bear witness to that fact? And then two, to be open to the Holy Spirit as He leads you to go. Because the deal about the Great Commission is the command is the same for everyone. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. But how far you go is up to you. Amen. How far you go is up completely up to you. You can go down the street to Walmart. You can go as you're going to lunch today, there's somebody around you that needs a touch from Jesus, and you are his hands and feet to a lost and dying world around you. And then number three, allow God to inspire you for the nations and have a heart that's open to him. And just like I was about a year ago, I could send my money. I can support these ministries, and we should, and we will continue to do that, but also be open to allowing God to speak to you about going to another nation yourself, because he wants to lead you. Because the progression, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, and it's God's desire that we go to all of those places respectively in our worlds. Amen.